Once there was a dialogue between the mother and a few disciples. These disciples were not able to see the Divine Mother as the Divine Mother, as most of us. And then Mother suddenly made a remark to them in a conversation. Do not think I am compelled to be here with you. This is a very important sentence. Do not think I am compelled to be with you here. You know, when you discuss any question with anybody, there is an inner assumption that the person to whom you are talking is compelled to be there. He has his own necessity to be there. The real freedom is understood when you find that that person is not compelled. We very often deal with other people as if they are compelled to be where they are. And our relationship is based upon this small assumption. We do not know that the Divine is not compelled to be with you.
What do you mean by compelled?
He needs you. That he cannot do without you. That for his fulfillment you are very necessary. So that you can play with that person and make demands upon that person. Human beings, when they are quite ignorant, they deal with the Divine as if the Divine is a puppet who is required, who is necessitated to be there. And that is what distorts our true relationship with the Divine. You are in the right relationship with the Divine when you know that He is not compelled to be with you. This is the majesty of the Supreme. Therefore, do not deal with the Divine as you deal with so many other things in the world. In the world, things are compelled to be where they are. The chair is compelled to be where it is because you have put it there. It has no capacity to run away. It is compelled to be where it is. It is by seeing the example of the Divine that you see that in the Divine consciousness there is no compulsion. If He is with you, it is because He has so chosen freely. There are thousands of possibilities. There is a beautiful example given in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says to Sri Krishna, I will not fight. And Sri Krishna says, first, even if you run away from the battlefield, you will be compelled to come back. That is the nature of the human incapacity. It may think I'll run away, but that very nature will compel him to come back. This is the first answer he gives. Even if you want to go away, you'll be compelled to come back. Then he also says, even if you are not here, I don't need you. My goal will be achieved even if you decide one way or the other. The Divine is not compelled to have Arjuna in the field. Both ways he answers this question. The Divine freedom is of such a high, majestic nature. If you think that, oh, without me God's work will not be done, have no illusion at all. If he makes you his instrument, it is because he is pleased to do it. Not that God is compelled to choose you because you are so great, so wonderful. Without Him, without you, He cannot do His work. Not at all. There is no compulsion at all. It's a beautiful anecdote. It is reported as a real story. But even if it's not a real story, it can be a real story. There was once a great leader called Shivaji. You heard his name perhaps, Shivaji? He was a great leader of Marathas, Maharashtrians. He was creating a new nation, a new aspiration among the people of Maharashtra. And therefore, the then Emperor of India, Aurangzeb, was opposed to him thoroughly. And always he used to send his soldiers and big generals to chase Shivaji and to kill him. There are many stories of this chase and the stories of how he was rescued. So once he was with his teacher, Ramdas. This is a story. He had gone to meet his teacher, a very great saint, one who knew God so well. And suddenly, when he was talking to his master, he was told that there is an attack on that very house, and Aurangzeb's men had entered, and Shivaji was alone with his teacher, and several soldiers coming at the same time, it would be impossible for him to escape. In that stage, he just looked at his teacher and teacher smiled. And the soldiers came and they saw 200 Shivajis. Not one, 200 Shivajis in that room. And the soldiers were bewildered. This is the freedom of the divine. As I told you, it's a story. It may not be real story. But it can happen. Such is the freedom of the divine power. To say that Shivaji can protect himself, by his own power, is an illusion. It is because the divine so chose that he is to be protected, therefore he is protected. Such is the nature of the divine teacher. Such is the freedom of the divine teacher. And the same thing can be said about bliss and love and power and his immortality. We shall discuss all these words later on when we have chance to discuss the experiences of all these elements. He sets above us his divine example. If you have once seen 200 Shivajis coming out like this in one stroke, that is the example. It is by this kind of an example, this is a major example, but there can be minor examples, small examples. But the divine teacher gives an example. It is this example which is extremely important. He embodies what he proposes. Like Shri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, where he teaches the Karma Yoga, and he says, Karma Yoga is a process of doing an action without the desire to enjoy the fruits of action. And Sri Krishna says, I am myself an example of this karma yoga, because I have nothing to gain from this world, nothing to gain by doing works in the world, and yet I work all the time. So this is the example. He says, I require nothing in this world. I am perfect. Nothing can give me more than what I am. And yet I go on doing works all the time. And he says, if I do not give this example, then the world will perish, because people will cease to work. In order that people may be inspired to work, I give an example. And this is, by this means, when you see some embodiment of the ideal, then you know it is possible, it can be done. And then it inspires you to emulate it. This is the mark of a teacher, that he gives an example. He does not merely speak. He practices what he teaches. And he is an embodiment, living embodiment of what he teaches. When Sri Aurobindo and the mother declared that divine life in matter is possible, this is the teaching of the first chapter of the Life Divine, and that it is inevitable, both Sri Aurobindo and the mother have taught this by example. As mother says, when Sri Aurobindo was in the earth, it was a perfect divine life on the earth. And when she said, what Sri Aurobindo had asked me to do is done. It's not merely a teaching. Sri Aurobindo had asked the mother to show, to realize that divine consciousness can manifest fully in matter. Mother said, that work is done. It is because of this example that we are all inspired. And that is the mark of the divine teacher. He sets above us his divine example as our ideal and transforms the lower existence into a reflection of that which it contemplates. Then comes, by the inpouring of his own influence,